commence our service this evening by singing hymn number 645, the tune is Christ Chapel 456. Dangerous is the path we go in this wilderness below. Savage beasts of every kind, aiming to distress the mind. How then can they persevere? Must they of the prize despair? No, 'tis theirs to watch and pray, for the Lord will guard the way. Hymn number 645. Let us read, dear friends, from the Holy Word of God this evening, the Acts of the Apostles, a part of chapter 7. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, reading the first 40 verses. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat him, and Isaac him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favour and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over all Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. When Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first, and at the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 70 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem, and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. When he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. When he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbour wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled, and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed
wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto them, to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. We'll leave the reading there, dear friends. May God bless his word unto us each, and help us now to seek the Lord by prayer. O Lord, thou who art the eternal and ever living Lord God Almighty, thou who art blessed for evermore, do help us now, dearest Lord, as we are favoured to be gathered together in the sanctuary of God to worship and honour and adore God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, God blessed forevermore. Lord, we stand in need of divine help, for the place whereon we stand is holy ground. Oh, do solemnize our hearts and our minds. May our thoughts be gathered up, Lord, to thee and thy ways and thy truth and thy commands and thy precepts. Save us from a wandering mind, and keep our hearts and minds, Lord, on things above, not on things on the earth. And to this end we pray for the sacred gift of thy Holy Spirit, who has that sacred power to enable us so to do, so that our worship may indeed be to the glory of God on high, and for the peace and comfort of thy dear people now assembled before thee. What a favour, Lord, to have thy house. What a favour to have a longing desire to go up to the house of God, and like David, thirsting for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Lord, we are now here, appearing before God. Thine eye is upon us. Thine ear is open to our petitions. Thou seest us, Lord, gathered, and we do pray that thou wilt favour us, unworthy as we are, with thy divine presence. And may the approbation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be upon us, so that our service will render that glory, Lord, to thee, and the service will be a means of grace unto us each, so that we will not come in vain, Lord, but that we may go with that realization that the Lord is our God and he is our guide, and that thou, Lord, wouldest be with us all our journey through. And so, Lord, we thank thee for thy great goodness and favours and benefits conferred upon us. We confess, Lord, that as sinners we are not worthy of the least of thy mercies, but oh, may our worthiness be in the Lamb of God, who is worthy of all honour and all glory and dominion, might and power, both now and forever. We do lovingly pray, Lord, for each one in this assembly this night, those who statedly worship here in this house of God. We do pray that thou wilt continue to feed them under this vine and fig tree, that the fruits, Lord, of the gospel may be sweet to their taste. And I'll do own and bless the ordained means to feed the church of God here. Thou hast set over them a beloved pastor, a dear friend to us, Lord, personally also. And we do pray that thou wilt continue thy loving kindness and tender mercy to them under this God-ordained favour and blessing in the church. We pray that thou wilt be with him as he is now ministering to those causes overseas, those two causes, God willing, and oh, may his ministry there be well received by the brethren and sisters in the Lord Jesus, and may this journey, this long journey that he has taken, oh, may it be profitable and good, and for the building up of thy dear people in their most holy faith and establishing them in the truth. We pray that thou wilt preserve and protect and defend him from all harm and danger, and at the appointed time that he may return to the dear friends here and to his dear wife and family. O Lord, may it be so, we humbly pray thee. And in the meantime, Lord, do help thy servants that come to occupy this pulpit in their dear pastor's absence. And so, Lord, do bless thy word throughout the length and breadth of this world, for thou didst commission thine apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. O Lord, and we thank thee that thy word has reached every nation under heaven. And we do pray, Lord, for thy little remnant in each land, that we each may be helped to stand fast for the doctrines of faith and grace, and to rejoice in God our Saviour, Oh, the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, as one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for this. Although in our nation we hear now in religious circles of multi-faith, but Lord, it never was so. It never will be so. It's one faith, the faith of God's elect in Jesus Christ, the righteous. We pray then for each one assembled. Be with them, Lord, in their lives and paths and responsibilities and concerns and exercises. Oh, thou knowest the pathway, Lord, that thy dear people walk in. And we pray that thou wilt grant to each one that needful grace to take up their cross daily and follow Christ, to deny self, take up their cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Oh, help each one so to do, for thou knowest, Lord, the thorn in the flesh that thy people have and the messenger of Satan to buffet them. But oh, may they know the divine consolation of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We pray for the young and the rising generation. We pray for the dear parents and their children and the grandchildren and grandparents, oh, the family circle, Lord, and the many concerns are all for the dear children today at school in the sad day in which we live in this our land. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to grant that in our institutions, in our land, that the Lord may be honoured again. Oh, we see such a dishonouring of the Lord in so many different sinful ways. Oh, Lord, that we could return as a nation to seeking unto God and unto God to commit our cause, for Lord, man cannot remedy the difficulties and problems that there are in the land, in the government. We seem to be going deeper in the mire. Only thou, Lord, canst save, only thou canst deliver, only thou canst give our rulers wisdom. That wisdom that cometh down from heaven. Oh, that there might be a few, Lord, raised up who will desire to govern the affairs of this land in the fear of the Lord. We pray for the aged saints, those infirmed and afflicted, perhaps, and know their strength to be weakened in the way to some degree. Yet, Lord, may they know that thy strength, the strength of God, is made perfect in their felt weakness, that they may be enabled still to serve, honour, and love the Lord their God. We pray then for each member of the church and the congregation, and our dear brethren in office as deacons here in this cause, and also in the labour, in the denomination, that they serve, Lord, serving thee in this way and manner. And so help us each, Lord, to serve thee in our day and in our generation And oh, we thank thee that from one generation to another, the name of the Lord is praised. And oh, may we be helped this night to sing thy worthy praises, O Lord, to sing with the heart and with the understanding unto our Creator. Now, dearest Lord, we pray that thou wilt make up in giving where I fail to ask. Thanks will be that we return thanks again for the harvest and the thanksgiving services that are being held in our chapels at this season. Oh, we would render, Lord, the praise to thee for every grace and favour conferred together with the royal bounty of thy good providence toward us. Now, Lord, do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do mercifully forgive our every sin. And help me, Lord, now to speak in thy great and holy and precious name. O grant ministerial grace, God-given ability, God-given wisdom. And O may thy word, Lord, accomplish that which is pleasing, Lord, to thee. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Continue our service by singing hymn number 622. Tune is Unity 427. Fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever be thy aid, and put the hosts of hell to flight. Nor sin nor Satan can o'ercome the arm that vindicates thy cause. God, thy own God, will lead thee home, in spite of all that may oppose. In number 622. evening, dear friends, by the help of God, I would ask your prayerful and loving attention from words to be found in the book of Genesis, the 42nd chapter and the 8th verse. The book of Genesis, chapter 42, verse 8. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. We have read this evening, beloved friends, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, a summary of the history of the Lord's dear people, beginning at Abraham. Stephen gave this summary to the Senate, and what a good summary it was. The conclusion being that when he further testified against them, sadly and solemnly they stoned him to death. But I think it's right to say that many of us here, I judge all of us, would be able to give a summary of the life of Joseph. I'm sure many of the Lord's dear people could. He's a character in Scripture who is well known. But when it comes to the detail of the experiences of God's people, and in particular Joseph, then we need far more than our natural minds. We need divine revelation. We need the Spirit to open to us the treasure house of God's eternal word. And as man by nature, we look at this word, we say, well, I don't understand it. Human reason, the natural mind of man, says, well, if Joseph knew his brethren, why didn't the brethren know him? And therefore, human understanding and reason fail. But by the divine inspiration of the Spirit and that divine teaching, then the Lord opens his word for the comfort and consolation of his dear people passing through their tribulation as Joseph was his. I want to just look at this initially in this way. How long was it? What time had passed since Joseph and his brethren were together? Well, it must have been just over 20 years, because he went out in obedience to his father to see how his brethren did, feeding the flocks. He was 17. He never came back. He was 30 when Pharaoh raised him to the ruler of the land. Well, there's 13 years. Then there were 7 years of plenty. That's 20 years. And then, this must have been in the early time of the dearth, because the brethren had been sent down to Egypt according to Jacob's command. So we can safely say
It was about 21 years. Now, just ponder this, dear friends, for a moment. If you hadn't seen a brother or sister for 21 years, do you think that you would know them? You would say, oh yes, I'm sure I would, and they would recognise me. Well, I can bring before you a little literal case, a personal word, to illustrate this point. I had an uncle who emigrated to Australia when he was 18. And my mother didn't see him again until he was 63. 45 years had gone over their heads. They hadn't seen each other. But as soon as they met again, they knew each other perfectly. And so did my uncle regarding his father, my grandfather. They knew each other immediately. No question about it. Now here we have a case then of 21 years. And yet, the brethren didn't know their brother. What can we say? There's a deep here, isn't there, that coucheth beneath. And may the Lord help us this evening, by the Spirit, to enter into this word. Because I can assure you, dear friends, of one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is in our text. That's for sure. You might say what Joseph is. Yes. There's a greater than Joseph here, dear friends. The Lord Jesus is here. But I want to go through that first with Joseph and then lead to Christ. So, this then is a hidden mystery. But you see, all things are made known and revealed by God's Holy Spirit. Oh, friends, the ministry. Without the Spirit, what do we have? It's vital. Vital in the ministry. It's vital, friends, in hearing. Because faith cometh by hearing, and faith is a fruit of the Spirit of God. So let us then consider the difference between Joseph and his brethren as we pursue this gracious meditation. It's all part of the Word of God, friends. Oh, the sacred volume of truth. And you know, just a few words, just a small verse, this eighth verse, very few words, and yet all the fullness there is of divinity and blessed experience. So Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Joseph did not forget his brethren. Year after year, year after year, month after month, week after week, day by day, they were in his heart. He couldn't forget them. Why? Because of the grief that they caused him. And it was not until his first son was born, Manasseh, that he could forget his father's his toil and his father's house of this sorrow and grief that he had known. But for year after year, not the full 21 years, But the first 13 and some of the 7, day after day, his heart remembered them because of the grief that they had caused him. And what grief they did cause him. And the patriarchs acknowledged this when God convinced them of their sin. So Joseph remembered them. And you know, friends, if one has ever grieved your spirit, wounded your weak conscience, they sin against Christ. And they wounded dear Joseph's conscience. And they sinned against Christ. They were the patriarchs. They were the heads of each tribe of Israel. They were the people of God. But oh, left to themselves, what depths of depravity they went into. You see, we read this evening, the patriarchs moved with envy. They were jealous. They resented him. Their own flesh and blood, their own brother. Ah, they moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. This is what they did, friends. Oh, you wouldn't think it possible, would you, that one could sell their brother. But they did. And you know, dear friends, as far as they were concerned, how often did they think of their brother, the brethren? After he was sold for 20 pieces of silver, Christ was sold for 30 pieces. How often did they think of their brother? They forgot him as a dead man out of mind. They never thought a thing about him. Completely forgot. And it wasn't until God brought that famine and they went down into Egypt, then God laid the charge of their sin to their conscience. Then they declared that we are verily guilty. But before that, their conscience was completely unmoved. They did what they did, and then they completely forgot about him. And that's the heinousness of sin. That's the evil of sin. It can commit sin and the next day forget all about it as if they'd never committed it. You see this in the case of the parable the Lord spake concerning that man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment, they wounded him, and they left him half dead. Left him. No more thought about him. Let him lay there and die. They wouldn't be upset by that. And friends, this is the nature of sin. It can inflict sin and injury on another and walk away and never think a thing about it. Exactly the same happened in the case of David's daughter, Tamar. It's all in the Word of God in Samuel, the second book. And there that poor maiden was defiled and dishonored by an ungodly man. Satisfies the lust of his flesh and then sends the woman away and never think another thing about her. As if he'd never committed sin. He committed a heinous sin before Almighty God. and put her out and bolt the door. No more thought of her. That's sin, friends. It's dreadful. Doesn't only just commit the sin, but the victim is then treated with complete contempt. Put them far away, have nothing to do with them. And for all their concern, it doesn't matter whether they're dead or alive. That's what the patriarchs were like. Now Joseph bore the grief of as a victim. And that was registered on his heart. And every day he bore that sorrow. And that sorrow, friends, was reflected in his countenance. For by the sadness of the heart, the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. And so to bring that comfort in his heart to some degree, the grief was made manifest in his countenance. In other words, his countenance was marred by the grief of his heart. This is absolutely confirmed in and by the Lord Jesus. No child equaled the beauty of Christ. Of all the sons of men, there were none so fair as Jesus Christ. And the church in the Canticles spake so beautifully of the Lord Jesus. He's the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, his sacred countenance. They loved him. They loved his person. And how do you know a person? You know them through their countenance. This is how you know a person, through their faith. And dear Joseph's countenance was affected greatly by the grief of his heart. It shone through his face, or showed through his countenance. Now the Lord Jesus, we read this, in his sufferings, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. The countenance of Christ was marred because of our sins. So this is why, after these long years, they came down to Egypt. They had no comprehension of the work of God, the decrees of God, the counsel of God concerning Joseph. Because when he began to prove them, they said that we are true men. And the 10 of them, and he said, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. That's what they said, one is not. They didn't know anything about where he was, anything about him. But the Lord knew, the Lord knew. And so they come together after all these long years, the brethren. No thought of their brother. His countenance was changed by the sorrow of his heart, the grief of his spirit, the anguish of his soul. So this is when they met. They didn't know him. Didn't begin to. Oh, friends, does this ring a chord in your heart? If you had to walk a path like this, where the grief and sorrow, because the heart knows its own bitterness, a stranger intermeddleth not with the joy. Oh, dear Joseph, what a path he walked. So he bore them every day in his heart, and he never forgot them. He never forgot them because of what they did to him. But they forgot all about him. Friends, it is absolutely true today. Absolutely true today. But of course, Joseph did make himself known to them. Not the first time they went down. What did Stephen say? Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first, and at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren. The second time, not the first. Now, this is the first meeting. No realization at all. And they went back and told their father. The man spake roughly to us and took us for spies. But you see, all this, friends, was Joseph proving them. This he said, ye shall be proved. And the Lord proves his people. So we read where they were made known. They did come together in that blessed way. And you see, Joseph could not refrain himself before them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They were troubled. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Oh, what a wonderful manifestation. What a wonderful making himself known to his brethren. Oh, he could not, you see, refrain himself any longer. No. Ah, his heart of grief was also a heart of love. Now, as we consider this, our minds go to the elder brother of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it can be clearly said that Jesus knew his brethren, but they knew him not. The Lord Jesus knows every one of his dear people. And how long has he known them? Friends, the Lord knew us before we were born. He knew us before the world was created. Chosen by him. Chosen by God in Christ before the foundation of the world. Wonderful, isn't it? You believe it? Oh, you say, it's a glorious truth, but I must believe it. I do believe it. It's the doctrine of the electing love of God. God chose a people in the person of his dear son. And he chose them before the foundation of the world. So the Lord knew us, dear friends, before the world began, before we were born, before we were born. And of course, when we were born, we were born into this world as poor, guilty, needy sinners. We didn't know the Lord. We didn't have any desire for the Lord. We didn't feel our sinnership. We were content with this sin-cursed world and the vanities of it. And the truth of God, although we heard it preached, it had no effect upon us in those early days. We didn't know the Lord. Oh, we knew some of the people at the chapel. Perhaps we knew all of them. We knew the ministers, some of them. But friends, we didn't know the Lord. Why was this? Because the Lord had not made himself known to us, that's why. I was thinking of dear Samuel in this respect, that godly child, and answered a prayer. But you see, we read in the early days, the Lord called him several times, and he went to Eli, because at that time Samuel knew not the Lord. But he did soon afterwards. And there's a time with us when we did not know the Lord. We had no desire for the Lord. And we did those things which were wrong, sinful, grievous, because the Lord Jesus Christ had undertaken the charge and the care and the salvation of every elect vessel of mercy. But born into this world as sinners, we went forth from the womb speaking lies. And friends, the sins of every elect vessel of mercy was born by Christ. And he felt in his holy mind and soul and person the weight and burden of our sin. He knew us eternally. He knew us in time before we knew him, because of the grief that we had caused him through our sin. We didn't realise, but that's exactly what it was taking place. Because Jesus Christ bore the sin, every sin, of every elect vessel of mercy. But we didn't know him, and yet we were causing him grief and causing him sorrow, causing him not anguish as it was with Joseph, but agony to Christ. And you see, dear friends, his word is fulfilled. The Lord knew his brethren. Yes, he suffered death for the brethren. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He's the elder brother of the church. His dear people are the brethren. We read of this, do we not, in the Hebrews. And he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He took upon him a body like our own, without sin. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels with the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in making, bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. sufferings is the ordained means of God to teach. Joseph was taught by the things he suffered, and so was Christ. Yes, made perfect, the captain of our salvation, through sufferings. Though he were a son, the Son of God from all eternity, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And he suffered in the room, place, instead of his church and people. And those sufferings, friends, oh, the sacred divine learning. Christ, of course, knew all things, but as the man Christ Jesus, in obedience to God his Father, and the substitute, standing in our room, place, and stead, then he learnt obedience to the will of God through those sufferings he endured for his people's sake. And Joseph, in that measure of his, he suffered, but he learnt obedience by those things that he suffered. He learned obedience to the will of God because he was ordained of God to be the one to feed the patriarchs so they wouldn't die. Because if the patriarchs die, then the covenant of God's grace can't be fulfilled. The covenant of God's grace was to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. These were the sons of Jacob. Friends, they represent the Jewish nation. They represent the birth of Christ through Judah. They represent the church of God in New Testament terms. And Joseph testified of this. God sent me before you. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And friends, that's been fulfilled right down to the present day. The Lord has preserved a posterity in the earth. And he saved our lives by a great deliverance. Literally, there's still the church of God on earth. Now the dear Redeemer, you see, God sent Jesus Christ into the world as the man Christ Jesus to suffer the just for the unjust, to redeem us. We'd sold ourselves for naught in the ways of sin, but ye shall be redeemed without money and without price. Redeemed. Not by corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ knew us, friends. He knew every one of his dear people. He knows us. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and he could never forget them, and he never does forget us. Why? Because of the sufferings we caused him. That's why. He never can forget his people. I know the church in Isaiah's day felt the Lord had forgotten them, but the Lord never had and never could and never does forget his people because they are graven on the palms of his hands. And this is why, you see, the Lord instituted all the following on from the Passover, the Lord's Supper. What is the purpose of it? It's to remember Christ. Because we never had a thought of him in unregeneracy. No. But when one is convinced of their sin, like the patriarchs were, and declare from the heart they're guilty before God, we saw the anguish of our brother. And friends, when a child of God is brought to acknowledge their sin, because they have an understanding of not the anguish with Joseph, but the agony of Christ, then Then you'll realize just what you've lost, Christ. Then, after conviction and feeling the malady of your own sin and acknowledging it before God and confessing it before God, for by the knowledge of the law of sin, it's through the law. The law gives a knowledge of sin. And the gospel gives the knowledge of Christ. It's the gospel that gives a knowledge of Christ, because he's preached. He's preached into the in the synagogues, and as it was in the Jews' day, and it's preached now in the chapels and the sanctuaries of God. And by hearing, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must hear of Jesus. This is why the gospel is preached. And a poor guilty sinner then has Christ revealed to him and made known to him. Then we know the Lord. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's salvation. It's a knowledge of Christ. So, you see, our text says, Joseph knew his brethren. The Lord knows us. And then we come to know him when he reveals himself by the Spirit. I said at the beginning of the discourse, we need the Spirit to understand this text. And friends, it's the Spirit that reveals Christ to the sinner. And oh, the beauty, the perfection, the glory in Christ. Everything in Christ that a poor, guilty sinner needs. There's forgiveness, there's pardon, there's peace. And oh, what did Joseph do? He kissed his brethren, that kiss of forgiveness. Has the Lord kissed you, friends, the kiss of forgiveness? Has he? Sacred kiss. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for his mouth is most sweet. Then you are brought to know the Lord. Then you sit, then there's a sacred union, then there's a oneness, like there was with Joseph and the brethren. So they didn't live and die in this, friends. And a poor child of God whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they won't live and die in sin and then sink to hell. No, they'll be brought to know the Lord Jesus. And you know, when you know him a little, you'll desire to know him more. You'll desire to know him more and more. Dear Paul prayed that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. Now, Paul knew the Lord when he uttered those words. Indeed he did. He uttered them when he was in Rome. He knew the Lord in Jerusalem. He testified of Christ in Jerusalem, that I might know him more. And this is the desire, friends, of a child of God. When Christ is revealed, you want to know more and more and more of this heavenly friend. There's such a fullness of grace and truth in the Lord Jesus Christ to meet your need. And this is why the brethren had to go down to Egypt, because there was corn there. Who dispensed the corn? Who was the governor of the land? Joseph. And what did Pharaoh say when the people went to him for corn? He said, go on to Joseph. Don't come to me. You go to Joseph. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And the only way they could obtain corn was going through Joseph. There was no other way. And there's no other way for a sinner to die, to obtain mercy, but through Jesus Christ the righteous. Go unto the Lord Jesus, it was said in John chapter 2. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And they did. And the water was made wine. at the marriage feast, the first miracle that Jesus did. And friends, every time a sinner is brought to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's a miracle indeed. Can you say tonight, friends, can you join with me and say, I'm a miracle indeed? Well, the ways of God are past finding out. As far as natural understanding is concerned, God has decreed it to be so. It must be spiritually discerned. And God gives the Spirit to his dear people to discern these truths. And friends, you see, it's a knowledge of Christ. It's a saving knowledge of Christ. There's no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul was brought to know him. He was on the Damascus Road, you see, then when he rose, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Ananias spoke concerning him, or the Lord spoke to Ananias concerning him, I will show him, that's Paul, what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now remember, Paul had been at the feet of Gamaliel, the doctor of the Jewish law. He was there at the school of Gamaliel. Now, what he was taught there was useful in his ministry. It was useful. It served a purpose. But he learned more in the school of suffering than ever he did at the feet of Gamaliel. And you and I will learn more in a path of suffering for Christ's sake than you ever will in the feet of Gamaliel, in a natural understanding and reading. Good as it is, but we need more than the letter. We need the Spirit. Vital. And the Spirit revealeth the deep things of God, because they must be spiritually discerned. What a wonderful favour for a poor mortal man or woman or child to know the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, friends, the wonder of it. There's just another thought, you know, about dear Joseph. He was 17. And look what the Lord revealed to him. I've had this thought went through my mind. I wonder what churches would say if a young person of 17 applied for membership. Would the church say, I'm not just applying it here, friends, to you at Lambeth. I'm speaking in general terms amongst the chapels. Would the friends say, well, he's too young. Have to wait. Come back later. That would be wrong, friends. Joseph was 17. And he knew more of the will of God and the counsel of God than his father, than all his brothers as well. Because God had shown him through those dreams. Did those dreams come to pass? Did the purpose of God? Indeed they did, in absolute perfection. And we have the benefit of it today. Preserve a posterity. Well, now I know it's fulfilled in Christ, but it was spoken initially to Joseph. And all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. In Christ. So, dear friends, all the beauty of God's word, all the fullness of it. How can a poor, worthless worm and man as I understand the deep things of God? How can I? It's only by the Spirit of God. This is the secret, friends. Blessed secret. Wonderful secret. Oh, may we know more of Jesus Christ, and that him came to me to know my Jesus. crucified. And he was crucified for our sins. It was our sins that affected his sacred heart, his sacred soul, his sacred mind, his sacred person in its entirety. It's our sins. The hymn writer said, the soldier pierced his side, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. Nevertheless, he reveals himself. How is it, Lord, one said to the Lord Jesus, that thou dost reveal thyself unto us and not unto the world? Oh, the Lord was in the world, and the world knew him not. But the Lord's people know him. They know him. Jesus said, if a man love me and my Father, then we will come unto him and reveal him ourselves to him. But the Lord doesn't make himself known to the ungodly. No, they don't know him. They don't know him. Pilate didn't know the Lord. The chief priests and scribes and Pharisees didn't know him. They saw him, but they didn't know him. Joseph's brethren in our text saw him, but they didn't know him. But when they went in Dothan, when he came out to meet them, or went down to meet them, and he was told in Dothan that they'd been seen feeding the flocks, before Joseph got anywhere near to his brethren, they lifted up their eyes and they saw him. They knew him then. But they hadn't performed their enterprise. They hadn't perpetrated their evil sin then. But they knew him then. But here in our text, they didn't even know him until Joseph revealed himself to them. And Christ must reveal himself to his dear people. Yes, there's no other way. Jesus, now thyself reveal. Manifest thyself to me. Well, I see the time has gone this evening. Beloved friends, may the Lord own and bless his own word, and may we each be brought to know the Lord Jesus, savingly, graciously, sovereignly, whom to know is life eternal. Amen.
Service by singing hymn number 771, the tune is Deep Harmony, 869. Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Knowledge of all terrestrial things ne'er to my soul true pleasure brings. No peace but in the Son of God, no joy but through his pardoning blood. Hymn number 771.
Thank you.
may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the Father's love, the communion of thy Holy Spirit, be with us all this night and forevermore. Amen.